which may only be discussed and approved by the Venezuelan people themselves. What really mortifies Washington and Brussels is that the Venezuelan people, despite all threats, came out to the polls and freely and democratically selected the 545 members of the Constituent Assembly, a fact that should be respected by the United States and the European Union. In fact, Venezuelan voters massively said yes to peace and gave their support to the Bolivarian Revolution. And that should be respected by the enemies of Venezuela, who received this past Sunday a resounding defeat. And this, friends, has been Radio Havana Cuba's editorial comment for today. I am Alberto de Pérez.
And you're tuned to Radio Havana Cuba, streaming audio on our website at www.radiohc.cu. That's the World Wide Web, www.radiohc.cu. You can also find us on Facebook and like us there. You can also tweet us on Twitter. Well, stop anyone on the street here in Havana or almost any other Cuban city or town and ask them about the revolution's most prominent features. They'll more than likely say healthcare and education. Up next, Juan Jacomino files this report.
Education is known to have been at the center of the Cuban Revolution's social programs from the very beginning. It has been a priority, and it has also been a Cuban achievement. Learning to read and write, daily going to school, receiving classes free of charge at all levels of the educational process are entitlements that the Cubans have enjoyed since the victory of the revolution on January 1, 1959. And education has in turn taking it upon itself to raise awareness in the younger generation concerning the core values guiding the Cuban revolutionary project. Education Minister Elena Elsa Velázquez says, after all, the future leaders of Cuba's revolutionary and socialist project are today sitting somewhere in a school classroom.
La educación es decisiva en la continuidad de la revolución, en el perfeccionamiento del proyecto social socialista que se defiende.
Education is decisive for the continuity of the revolution as we go about trying to improve on the socialist project that we uphold. The Ministry of Education and the national education system in general, said the minister, are responsible for the teaching of all children and young people in Cuba, and that teaching also extends to the values that are defended by the Cuban Revolution. We always say, notice the minister, that sitting there in our classrooms are the future leaders of that revolution. Those who will ensure the continuity of its social project. That revolutionary continuity effort, the minister said, is assisted by a high degree of commitment on the part of the teaching staff through time.
El sector educacional está integrado por personas muy comprometidas con la revolución.
The educational sector rallies people very committed to the revolution. The literacy campaign, which was a people's campaign, took place in 1961, the most important cultural event of the revolution then, and it was possible thanks to the level of commitment of the people who carried it out, many of whom later became educators and joined the different teacher training programs. Under any condition, in any situation that our country has had, said the Cuban education minister, even during the special period and in the more complex stages of that special period, Cuba did not close a school. A child was never left without a classroom, and that was possible also thanks to the commitment of Cuba's classroom people.
El reto permanente de la educación cubana es seguir elevando la calidad.
The permanent challenge of Cuba's education is to continue raising its quality. That is the permanent challenge, says the education minister. We have made progress, reached higher stages, but it will always be challenging ourselves into doing things better. The world is changing and new technologies are introduced, and therefore we will always have to be prepared to promote and continue to contextualize our education. Comments by Cuba's education minister, Ana Elsa Velázquez. For Radio Havana Cuba, this is Juan Jacomino.
Thanks, Jaco. Juan Jacomino with that report here on this Monday. Thanks for joining us here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Rather rainy and wet Monday here in the Cuban capital. Time now for Daniel Montero with one of his Havana portraits.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Havana Portraits, where Havana's culture and history meet to bring you closer to this magical city. I'm Daniel Montero, and I'll be guiding you through the most amazing places of the Cuban capital. Today, I'm going to be talking about a building with a rich history which has been forgotten. In Havana's municipality of Cerro, there is a colonial construction that nowadays hosts a high school, but holds a much bigger story behind its walls. That building used to be the house of Juan Bruno Zayas, a Cuban freedom fighter who died in Cuba's wars for independence and got to be a general of the Cuban army. Such a house also hosted since the 1840s a very progressive school, which meant a lot for the formation of young Cuban men with new ideas, El Colegio del Salvador, the School of the Savior. Such a school was created by José de la Luz y Caballero, one of the most famous teachers of Cuban history. Back at the time, education in Cuba was done in a very traditional way. The methods used left little room for self-interpretation. José de la Luz was one of the first professors in establishing an open dialogue with his students. José de la Luz y Caballero gathered in that school a staff of teachers with a progressive thinking regarding Cuba's situation as a colony. That school, along with a few others sharing similar positions, contributed greatly to build the conscience among young Cubans who would later take arms against the Spanish.